I, Harry S. Truman, President of the United States, dedicate this day of Sunday to America, armed and free.
This July 4th, we honor the service of those who fought the Pacific War with the classic American movie, They Were Expendable, directed by the great John Ford. Doors open at 2 p.m. at the Loft Theater, 3233 East Speedway, and the movie starts at 2:30. $1 dogs and burgers, as always. This year's raffle gun is a Victory Model Smith & Wesson in 38 Special, carried by a dive bomber pilot in combat. That's They Were Expendable, July 4th, 2:30 p.m. at the Loft Theater on Speedway.
If you seek liberalization, come here to this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, open this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I am a minute man. I am the guardian of America, armed and free. For we knew it will always be the citizen who is the guardian of America, armed and free.
Welcome to America Armed and Free, a program dedicated to preserving your God-granted, constitutionally guaranteed individual right to keep and bear arms in defense of self or state, understanding that the citizens are the militia. This program is produced by Charles Heller and is not endorsed by anyone who isn't pro-choice on freedom.
We are the guardians of America.
We are those guardians of America armed and free. We are those guardians of America armed and free, and it is a joy, a pleasure, and a special honor to have some of those guardians with us who have served in the uniform of our country, and we welcome Helen Glass. I'm saying it correctly. Thank you for your service to the country and the Navy. Actually, as a wave in World War II, as an engine mechanic, and also I want to thank you for your about Operation Homefront. Could you pull up right to the microphone?
Yes.
And would you pull down the other mic so I can hear me back in here? So pull down the center mic. And again, if you would introduce the audience to you.
Okay. My name is Clarissa Gaberkoff, and I am from Operation Homefront of Arizona.
And tell us what Operation Homefront is.
Operation Homefront was formed in 2002. We are a 501c nonprofit organization. It was developed to support families of deployed service members immediately following 9/11.
Okay. And I found out about you through Helen, who sent me an email, says thank you for your work and I'd like you to have the folks on to have Clarissa on from Operation Homefront. But first, when did you first begin serving our country? And if I could ask you to come up to the microphone right there in the center, I could pull that further out if you'd like, if that makes it more comfortable for you, Helen. How's that?
I joined the Navy on my 20th birthday, March the 8th, 1943, at the insistence of my brother who had joined.
Mm-hmm.
We graduated in 41, then came Pearl Harbor, and he joined right away.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to wait till I was 20.
And how did you find out that you had a talent for a mechanical talent?
When I was in boot camp, I didn't know. I just absorbed it, helping my family were electricians and mechanics, and I just fixed cars with them and everything. Didn't even realize I had the ability until we had these tests at boot camp.
And what did you fix in the Navy? To the mic, if you would. Thanks.
I was then sent to the NATTC, that's Naval Air Technical Training Center in Norman, Oklahoma. And after I graduated, I went to the Naval Air Station at Opa-locka. And it was there that we had learned to fix SNJs, Corsairs, fighter planes, Scouts, and the engines.
Hmm.
And I enjoyed it.
You liked working on engines?
Oh, I loved it.
Did you continue doing that after Navy service?
After I did my own car.
Huh.
But not now. I couldn't do that now.
Sometimes there's an awful lot of technical equipment that's necessary. You got to have Mike Emery at Perfection Auto Works or somebody like him with the computers and all that stuff. But, Paul Harvey, to the day he died, still had the car that it was a Nash that he dated Lynn Harvey, Lynn Cooper at the time, and he still kept that car, their first car together. And he used to enjoy changing the oil on it and all that stuff, and it's got to be a joy to do that stuff.
When I got married and went to California, I had the fortune of, for $500, buying a 1929 Pierce Arrow touring car.
Oh.
And my husband and I redid the engine, and the only thing bad was the upholstery. But when I left and went home, I had never driven except around town. I would have to drive it from California to New Jersey, so I left it there.
Oh, gosh. That would be a fun car to have today. It'd be worth
a lot of money now.
It sure would. How did you meet your husband?
He was an aviation chief machinist in the stationed with me.
Mm-hmm. And I guess back then the Navy rules didn't prohibit it?
What's that?
You know, getting married to your chief.
Oh, no, they did not.
Cool. That's great. I know. Keep America American, right?
That was what my father said.
Yep.
He told me many made in America. He mm-hmm. couldn't live today because he wanted us to buy only things made in America.
Yeah, it's a world economy, and that's changed.
But
by
you
the
can't
way,
do that now.
I'm not. By the way, I don't want anybody to think I'm not in favor of new Americans who come from other places. I think that's wonderful, as long as people who come here assimilate into our culture rather than try to make an enclave of their culture within our culture that never does work.
My paternal grandparents came from Sweden.
Did they?
In 1890. Hmm. So my other grandparents on my mother's side, they went back as far as the Civil War.
In the United States.
In the United States.
Right. How did you become aware of Operation Homefront?
Clarissa and I met at the Memorial Day service at Evergreen Cemetery. I was laying a wreath, and we met, and we spoke, and she told me about it, and I became interested.
Hmm. That's pretty neat. And you've been volunteering at the VA for 32
years.
How did you start volunteering at the VA?
Well, it was through the VFW. I helped them. And then I went on, and I love it. Mm-hmm. And I recently got my 10,000-hour pin.
Wow.
I got my presidential pin, and I was inducted into the Veterans Hall of Fame, and got many honors, and I just love it. I call that my home away from home.
And I bet they're absolutely thrilled to have you there. I know I would be if I were in that.
I love doing it, and especially when I help fix a patient's wheelchair, mm-hmm. putting side packs on them and backpacks, and it is wonderful because I helped my father. My father was a veteran in World War I, and he was gas wounded, shell shocked, served in France, and I was ever since I was a little girl. I was volunteering then, but didn't know it, at the VA hospital in New York.
And how long did your father live?
Well, he lived and he died at the VA hospital in Coral Gables in 1969.
Wow, he lived a long time after.
They gave him time to live ever since he got out of the service.
That's fantastic. He lived until 1969.
Yep.
So you've been helping veterans all your life, really?
All my life, really.
And then
yes,
you're one yourself.
I used to push the wheelchairs, funny little wheelchairs with. I'd play checkers and read to them. Of course, back then they didn't have the volunteers, they didn't have the money, they didn't have the equipment that they have now. And our hospital over here is absolutely wonderful.
Hmm. We have a caller, and Larry would like to talk to Helen and Clarissa either about Operation Homefront or about Navy service from World War II up and helping even World War I veterans. You provide such a fantastic bridge for history for us, Helen. That's one of the reasons why I'm so glad that you're here.
Well, it's my honor. It makes me happy. It does.
Thank you, Larry. You're live on America Armed and Free.
Yes, I'm a Vietnam veteran, and I thank her for her service for all those years. My gosh.
Amen.
Yes. You know, you said that she was a mechanic,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, Helen. Aircraft mechanic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And didn't they use two different types of engines, either a liquid-cooled or a radial engine?
No. Back then, we had the first one was a 985, and then it was a 1300 engine. We had hand inertia starters and cartridge starters back then.
Uh-huh. And that's they were all air cooled, right?
Yeah.
I think a liquid cooled engine would have probably been too heavy.
I really don't know. Mm-hmm.
So the naval aircraft were using more of radial engines, air cooled.
I guess you would call it that. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is back in 1943 and 44, 45. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, my poem, The Unknown Vietnam Soldier Speaks, won the International Poet Society in Washington, D.C., and it is in a book called At Day's End.
Hmm. Now, yes, you're an award-winning poet, and let me see. I have your bio here, and I didn't get the whole thing read. Let's see. awards and rewards have been. I'm sorry. I'm trying to find it in here, and I don't see it. Go ahead.
If you want me to brag.
Sure, brag, please.
I was VFW Volunteer of the Year, American Legion Volunteer of the Year, Hospital Volunteer of the Year, Woman Veteran of the Year, American Legion Veteran of the Year. I was inducted into the Hall of Fame, and my poems, they were all military, won. My first gold medal was Peace, and that I entered because of 2001. And then the Battleground Love, and I Am Your Flag. I am not an idol, I'm a symbol. And then the last one was Graveyards at the Bottom of the Sea.
Mm. You don't by any chance have any of them here with
yes.
you, do you?
Well, I know them.
Wow. I'd love to have you do especially Graveyards Peace. At the Bottom of the Sea or Peace,
okay,
but
right.
We're up on a break, so we're going to go ahead and start that now, and then after the break we'll have you do that, and we'll talk a little bit more about Operation Homefront with Clarissa. Really appreciate your being here, both Clarissa and Helen, and thank you both for your service, and we'll be right back on America Armed and Free.
Is America salvageable? Attorney, constitutional scholar, and optimist Tim Baldwin joins Charles Heller at noon Sunday, July 4th on Liberty Watch about That Liberty May Live. At 1 p.m., what was the longest, toughest military struggle in which the U.S. was engaged? Dr. Richard Snow joins Charles about A Measureless Peril, America in the Fight for the Atlantic. Liberty Watch, an America armed and free. Sundays, noon to 2, right after Swap Shop.
I'm Oliver North, and like you, I'm listening on America Armed and Free with Charles Heller. Civilian disarmament is an essential precedent for every dictator who engages in mass murder.
And welcome back to America Armed and Free. We have the joy, the pleasure, and the honor of having with us Helen Glass. She's a veteran of the waves of World War II. Also with us is Clarissa Geberkoff. Did I get it right?
Yes.
I got it right. Okay. Who is the director of development with an outreach for Operation Homefront in Arizona, and we're going to talk about both. But first, Helen Glass has her poem Peace, and we'd love to hear you do it.
If you want Peace or
Graveyard? Whichever you want to do. I'd like to hear you do Peace. It was excellent, but if you would, go ahead and do that.
Graveyards at the Bottom of the Sea I dedicated to my brother, who was killed just before 9 o'clock, September the 11th, 1943, on the USS Savannah at Salerno, Italy. And he's buried at the coast of Malta with over 200 of his shipmates. I thought about that graveyard at the bottom of the sea. How many lives were lost to help keep us free? There's nothing there to guide us, no markers, no crosses anywhere to mark the spot that let us know our loved ones are buried there. And as we view these waters so deep, we know that God has a vigil he will keep and relate to that Navy hymn as we pray these simple words that say, oh, hear us in our prayer to thee for those in peril on the sea. God bless all those in graveyards at the bottom of the sea. It is because of their sacrifice you and I are free.
Thank you, Helen Glass. That's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Tell us a little bit about Operation Homefront. How does it serve people? Who does it serve? How does it work?
Okay. Operation Homefront supports...
A little closer to the mic, if you would.
Operation Homefront supports our military rank, E6 and below, families and our returning wounded warriors facing dire need of assistance. We help them with their rent, their mortgage, utilities, food, vehicle, payments, repairs, insurance. We want our mission of our men and women in uniform to be kept overseas while we take care of the home front.
Hmm. And how do people contribute? You don't give them money. You pay the actual bills.
Yes, we pay the bills. We do not give them money. We pay the bills.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
And how do people, if they'd like to contribute to you, how do they get money to you?
They can go to our website, and on there it says how to contribute.
The website is?
www.operationhomefront.net/Arizona.
All right. www.operationhomefront.net/Arizona, and they can contribute right on there, and you're a 501c3.
That's correct.
All right. And develop to support families of deployed service members. Is there really, I'm ignorant because I've never served in the military, unfortunately. One of the only two regrets I have in my life, really. But I'm ignorant of what we pay people in the military. I know it's not a lot, but between E1 and E6, what's the range of salary in there?
You know, I wouldn't know the answer to that.
Somebody call in and tell us that.
I know back when I was, I got $36 a month to start out.
It's not very much.
No, and you left the service as an E3, E4?
AMM, third class.
Third class, an MM, motor mechanic,
that
third class?
$78.
Oh. Wow, that was a real improvement. What did $78, Helen? What did $78
a month?
What did $78
buy? I sent stuff home.
Really?
But we had everything provided for us, and I didn't need much.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it's fine, we had our food, good clothing, everything.
At the end of World War II in 1945, about what did a home cost in the area?
Oh, my goodness.
Ballpark.
A car would be like about $300.
For a new car?
For a new car.
Really?
Hmm. Loaf of bread was 10 cents.
Hmm. All right.
The movies was 25 cents.
That sounded expensive.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I guess it was then, it is now. How did the Navy teach you how to work on aircraft engines? What was the school like?
Well, we went to school with the Navy. There were Marines, Navy, and the Waves.
Mm-hmm.
And that was at Norman, Oklahoma. And we got actual engines. We also had to learn nomenclature. And we had to learn all about enemy ships, enemy planes. We had to learn everything. We had to learn, like, the bathroom was ahead. We had a new language,
yeah.
Entirely new language.
Yeah. You had to learn bow from stern, even if you weren't working on a ship.
Right, but we did learn on, like I said, our first engine that I worked on was a 985, and then it was a 1300, which was large. And then I worked on oil pumps, which was the heart of the engine, and we even had sabotage on that, because the heart of the engine, they put something in it, and it would, when they put it on the engine, the oil would go through and chew it up.
Huh.
And we had several mid-air crashes.
Because of someone that sabotaged
because
it?
Because somebody had sabotaged
intentionally or unintentionally sabotaged?
Well, they never got to the bottom of what it was, but we had to get new ways of securing them.
Hmm. Be darned. Now, when you were, were the classes co-ed or was it strictly
yes,
women?
Co-ed.
Really?
Co-ed.
I didn't know that the Navy back then had done that.
Oh yes.
There weren't the women in the service were actually was a separate service. The Waves were a separate service within the Navy.
We did boot camp separate.
Mm-hmm.
I was at Hunter College in New York, but then the classes were the same. But the Navy resented us for getting ratings faster. But then they would stand by us if anything came up.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, women have always had better hand-eye coordination and small motor coordination than men. When I teach people how to use firearms, I find that women are usually much better shots to start with than men are. Did they give you firearms training, too, in the Navy?
We did, but we didn't. All we did was learn how to carry them, handle them, clean them. That's all.
You didn't get to shoot them.
We drilled with rifles. That's all.
Mm-hmm. What was boot camp like? I mean, were they pretty tough on people?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, that's what separated the men from the boys, as they say.
Funny to hear a lady saying that.
Okay, he's going to...
Oh, David, pay in the military. Go ahead. Thank you. You're still... She's a better host than I am. We call her David. Hi, David. You're live on America Armed and Free with Helen Glass and with Clarissa Geberkoff.
Good afternoon, ladies. And Charles, God bless you. And, you know, when I was in, I was telling Ray, when I was in back in the 70s, I was a young airborne ranger. I'd get paratrooper pay, which was hazardous duty pay. We were getting paid $50 a month to jump out a perfectly good airplane. And then I was a young private and then young sergeant, young corporal. And $200 a month, that went a long way. I mean, Charles, I mean, pack of cigarettes were, 30 cents. I mean, you get a beer we had beer machines in the barracks, in the day room, and you lived in the barracks. When you were off, I mean, we didn't have that many civilian clothes. We wore a lot of our khakis. Or your class A's, and you couldn't afford a car. You had to get permission to get married, and then you couldn't own a car. You had to get permission to own a vehicle. So you relied on post transportation, and then in my first duty station was at Fort Lewis, Washington. But then after 20 years, I spent 20 years in the service. Your pay starts getting up there. You actually has a duty pay. When I retired, it was $110 a month, and the officers and enlisted got the same. And back in the 70s, officers got more hazardous duty pay because I guess they were bigger targets.
All right, David, knowledgeable. Thanks for letting us know about that, and thank you for your service to the country.
Yes, sir. Have a great day.
You too. That opens a line for you in the Perfection Auto Works Studios at 790-2040 or 866-725-5467. You wanted to make a point about Operation Homefront. Go right ahead.
Yes. I want to let people know that we do have morale assistance. We do back-to-school backpacks. Events, we adopt a family during the holidays, holiday open house, and Easter programs. Mm-hmm. Right now we're doing a back-to-school brigade backpack event, and we're in the need for backpack notebooks, notebook paper, pen, pencils, colored pencils, and other school supplies. I want to let you guys know of the locations where you can go drop these off. That would be at Sunflower Market, 3860 West River Road, Simon Ice Car Wash, 3101 East Speedway, 4941 North Oracle Road, and 2409 South Cove. Cool Smiles of Tucson has also let us put boxes there at 2990 South 6th Avenue and 5504 East 26th, or East 22nd Street. Anyone that stops by and delivers new school supplies at Cool Smiles will get a Cool Smiles goodie bag.
All right, so in the specific items, you're looking for backpacks, paper, school supplies, and these supplies all go to the children of service people who basically don't get paid enough to buy that stuff for themselves.
That's exactly correct.
Now, if somebody's in the service and they're in that position, how do they go about contacting you, Clarissa?
They can call me at area code 520-304-9729, or they can go to the website we mentioned earlier.
304-9729. That's area code 520.
That's correct.
304-9729. And if they need some assistance, you can provide that for them.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Also, Sunflower Market at Thornydale drop-off point, and Orange Grove and Thornydale.
Uh-huh.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. All right, folks. If you'd like to call in, this is a great time. If you'd like to ask Helen Glass a question about World War II service in the Navy, if you'd like to ask Clarissa anything about Operation Homefront of Arizona, you can call in now at 520 790 2040 or 866-725-5467 in the Perfection Auto Works Studios.
This July 4th, we honor the service of those who fought the Pacific War with the classic American movie, They Were Expendable, directed by the great John Ford. Doors open at 2 p.m. at the Loft Theater, 3233 East Speedway, and the movie starts at 2:30. $1 dogs and burgers, as always. This year's raffle gun is a Victory Model Smith & Wesson in 38 Special, carried by a dive bomber pilot in combat. That's They Were Expendable, July 4th, 2:30 p.m. at the Loft Theater on Speedway.
Welcome back, and we have the joy, pleasure, and honor of having with us Helen Glass. She served in World War II as an aviation mechanic. We also have Clarissa Gebrikoff. She's the Director of Development and Outreach with Operation Homefront of Arizona. And if a soldier, sailor, airman, or marine is E6 or below and they need some financial assistance, they can give a call to 520-304-9729. That's 520-304-9729. Or if they want, they can get on operationhomefront.net/Arizona and get more information about assistance. And you have an event coming up on September 11th you wanted to talk about. Isn't that right, Clarissa?
Yes.
What
mm-hmm.
is the event?
It's a Freedom Walk. It's commemorate September 11th. It's free. It's a free event to the general public.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about the Freedom Walk. Where's it going to be? Where's it going to? How long is it going to be? And you're looking for sponsors, right?
Yes, we're looking for sponsorship help. It's going to be at Reed Park. Mm-hmm. We have Armada number 5 and 6 reserved for us. And Helen Glass here is helping us, and hopefully we get a lot of participants.
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. Thank
All
you,
right.
Helen.
And Helen, you had another poem called Freedom. Right?
Oh, peace.
Peace, excuse me. I'd love to hear you do it if you'd like to.
This is a pet one with me because I go to events and I see people standing there and they don't know what to do when the flag goes by, the national anthem or anything. They stand there and I like to say, if you don't know what to do with your hands, put your hand over your heart or salute. And I try to tell the young people and I say, you be an example. If they're not saluting, you go tell them. And this is... I wrote this when my brother was killed in 1943, and then I submitted it in 2002 for the National Veterans Creative Arts, and it won my first gold medal. It was called Peace. Do we who are born here take for granted the freedoms we enjoy? Is the Pledge of Allegiance just mere words repeated by man and woman, girl and boy? Do we respect our American flag and stand and salute as it goes by? Do we stand and salute for our national anthem and sing it proudly or even know why? Or does it take a disaster or a war to bring patriotism to light, the flags be flown and songs be sung and people ready to fight? I'm proud to be an American, born in the USA, free to go to school, to work, to vote, to worship God in my own way. When do we put away our guns, hate, prejudice and suspicion, and once again become a united nation? Peace begins with you and with me, and it should start right now, with each one of us taking a solemn vow to bring peace and love in our own hearts, in our own family. Only then can we say we are really free.
Thank you. That's wonderful. After World War II, was there animosity towards people, towards both Germany and towards Japan, or did that heal fairly?
No.
Did that heal fairly fast?
No. There was a little bit, but not much. And when we realized the Germans that lived there were not the Nazis, it was the Nazis who were doing it, and we had some sabotage in our state in New Jersey that I lived, and they caught them.
Mm-hmm.
And there were many incidents, but. Those Germans that lived in our community were there for many, many years. We did not hate them.
Was the same thing as true for people of Japanese extraction?
Of Japanese, we only had one Japanese family, and they left, believe it or not, just before Pearl Harbor. They left early in 1941, they left two little girls, Shinaka and Tamaka Wasui, and they left them with an Italian family who raised them.
Hmm.
But they must have known what they were going back to. I don't know. But they were fine people. And they were friends and neighbors of ours.
Hmm.
But there was no animosity.
Folks, if you just tuned in, let me reset this for you. You're listening to America Armed and Free on KVOI. We have the joy, pleasure, and special honor of having with us Helen Glass, a World War II veteran, a mechanic, an aircraft mechanic in World War II in the waves. And also with us is Clarissa Geberkoff. She's the Director of Development for Operation Outreach. So we have not only an opportunity for questions about history and some of the things, the struggles that our country has experienced, but also ways you can help in the here and now with people who are E6 or below. You can contribute to Operation Homefront, which provides financial assistance to people E6 and below at www.operationhomefront.net/Arizona. Or if you're not computer enabled, and I don't know why any young person would not be, you can reach Clarissa at 304-9479. That's 9729. Is that correct? 304-9729.
Mm-hmm.
And you can reach us in the Perfection Auto Works Studios at 520-790-2040. Or if you're away from Tucson, it's 866-725-5467 in the Perfection Auto Works Studios. We have Perry on the line, been patiently waiting. Perry, you're live on America Armed and Free with Helen Glass and Clarissa Geberkoff.
Charles and
yes.
Helen, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Thank you, and I want to thank you, and you almost had me in tears, and my father, who is from New York, he was from New York, he died last year after Thanksgiving Day. We buried him upstate New York at West Exeter Cemetery, not too far from Cooperstown, New York, and I'm very proud of him, and for you, Helen, I want to say this, as the great Irving Berlin said, God bless America, and have you ever met the Honorable John McCain, United States Navy, and his... I know you haven't met his father, I don't think, but he was in World War II. So we can praise and glorify the great Americans who did sacrifice for our country so Charles and myself can be here and listen to the great Helen. Thank you. I'll take it off the air.
Helen, did you ever meet John McCain?
Perry, I met John McCain. I had my picture taken with him at the World War II memorial we had here at the Pima Air Museum.
Hmm. And... what's your experience with Senator McCain? Did you have much interaction with him, or just...
No, we were very busy that day, and it was a wonderful event.
Mm-hmm.
And I also had my picture taken with the governor at that time.
I've met Senator McCain in passing at the airport, and he's always been cordial, you know, in social circumstances.
Yes, as far as I'm concerned, yes.
He can be pointed when he needs to be. And I want people in power to have a temper. I don't know about you.
I don't want to get into politics, but I am afraid for our country.
Specifically, what is it that you fear for our country? I'd love to
especially
know.
Especially for our young people.
Why?
I'm glad I lived when I lived and how I lived, how I was allowed to live, the freedoms I enjoyed. And it's getting now, it's really scary. It really is.
What specifically is it that you, what concerns you the most?
Well, especially, I'm not a overzealous religious person, but I do believe there is a God, and I hate what is happening in Washington and taking away our heritage, rewriting, and I'm supposed to go to the World War II Memorial with... freedom ride there, and I'm taking a sign that says "So help us God" and put on the World War II memorial because they left that off of Franklin Delano Roosevelt's speech,
right.
And I was 18 at the time, and I heard it. I was working at the time, and they did away with it, and
yeah,
doing away with the other, trying to eliminate God, and that's what this country was based on, our religious freedom.
Sure was. You know, that is irritating that they left that. They left it uncarved in stone. And I would love to see Congress pass a bill that adds it into the speech. Because
they won't.
Well, hope.
They took "In God We Trust" off all the other things that's happening.
Well, some people have said, for instance, like there's a $1 coin with the president's on it. There's an email going around, I know you do use email, that says that In God We Trust has been removed from the coin. It hasn't.
It's around the edge. It's around the edge.
Right. It's around the edge. So I don't think that anyone's trying to take it off the coins, at least that they haven't tried to yet. I happen to be of Jewish extraction, but I got to tell you, this is a Christian nation. It was formed by Christians. There were many different belief styles in amongst the Christians. But the point of the matter is, this was built on the Judeo-Christian ethic.
I'm fine. I want them to live the way they want and worship their God in the way they want, but I don't want them to take it away from me.
No, that's not why you got dirty, got greasy up to the elbows, putting your hands in aircraft engines.
Why my brother gave his life.
Yeah, on the Savannah. It's a fascinating and also horrible thing. They were attacked by a Focke-Wulf bomber, but it was a radio controlled bomb. Right.
Just before 9 o'clock, September the 11th, it was a Saturday, and it hit the turret.
Mm-hmm. Number 3 turret.
Savannah was here and the Philadelphia was here and another English ship was there, and through an oracle one of the men contacted me and said it was his ship that they wanted to hit that was pulling in between them. They had all the top brass of the army that were invading Italy,
that were on the Savannah,
but they hit the Savannah turret, dead hit.
Yeah.
And my brother was in the turret.
Mm. Yeah, it went into the forward powder magazine,
mm-hmm.
and almost it blew the bottom out of the Savannah.
Well, a friend of mine, I didn't know it was friends of mine here in Tucson, and her brother was one of the four that were buried for 80 hours beneath. They got him out.
Yeah. They were in a closed compartment. They had to seal off the compartments to make them watertight. And four guys survived.
And four of them, and her brother was one of them.
That had to have been a spooky 80 hours.
It was.
Real spooky. Folks, if you just tuned in, you're listening to America Armed and Free. We have, go ahead and start the break. We have Helen Glass with us, and also Clarissa Geberkoff, Director of Development for Outreach of Operation Homefront. We'll talk a little bit more about Operation Homefront in the last segment when we come back.
I'm Oliver North, and like you, I'm listening on America Armed and Free with Charles Heller. Civilian disarmament is an essential precedent for every dictator who engages in mass murder.
And welcome back to America Armed and Free. Of course, the great music from Victory at Sea, and something that Helen Glass had a little part in the Victory at Sea. And also Clarissa Geberkoff, Director of Development and Outreach at Operation Homefront. I'm going to get to Operation Homefront again. But Helen, you were just telling me off the air about you didn't realize you had a little bit of indirect help in a little bit of espionage.
When I lived in New Jersey, Verona, New Jersey, and I was in high school in 1939, 1940, there was a Jewish family that had a delicatessen, Lipsky, Mr. and Mrs. Lipsky, and they asked me to write letters for them in English and address the envelope, and I didn't know I was helping with the war effort over in Europe until many years later. They would write it in Hebrew and I would write it in English, and in that somewhere, they had a code to their son, who was the head of a group helping Jews get out of France and Germany and all over Europe. And like I said, they would call me in, feed me, and I loved everything they gave me. I didn't like the filter fish, that was all.
Don't worry, none of the Jews did either. It was only there for
decoration.
But
I found out later that that's what it was. Of course, I felt very proud, but I was about 16, 17 years old.
Mm-hmm. All right, over to Clarissa and talking about the Operation Homefront. Mm-hmm. If folks maybe don't have a backpack to give that will go to the children of servicemen and servicewomen, how do they contribute financially if they'd like to buy, say, how much is a backpack and the school supplies to go in? Is there an average dollar amount?
It's like about $35. Mm-hmm. If you don't have time to go to any of our locations and do a drop-off, because a lot of us are busy, you can go to our website and donate, and it's $35 a donation for the backpacks.
Mm-hmm. Okay, audience, I don't ask you for a lot of things, audience, to this program, but I'm going to ask you to do this. Pony up, and folks, the website is OperationHomefront.net/Arizona. I'd like every one of you, when the program ends, heck, if you want to quit listening now and go turn on your computer, go boot it up and take out your Visa card, your MasterCard, or your American Express, and $35 is no big deal. As soon as I get near a computer tonight, I am going to do same. I'll do it. If I had 35 in my wallet right now, I'd give it to you, but everything's plastic anymore, so I will do that tonight when I get back to my office and post this program up on the website. Also, if you missed any portion of the program, it is available later. It'll be on...
Send a check.
Yeah, oh, they can send a check. What's the address?
It should be
in my stuff right in front of me.
It's on the website.
It's on the website. Well, mm-hmm. if the only reason they'd be sending a check is because they didn't have the web, and so I'll find that here in just a second at... Is there like a P.O. box? Nothing like not being ready for radio, huh? Let's see. 6135 North Black Canyon Highway, Suite 2. Once again, 6135 North Black Canyon Highway, Suite 2, Phoenix, Arizona, 85015. Once again, 6135 North Black Canyon Highway, Suite 2, Phoenix, Arizona, 85015. And he can ask that on the air. Dan, you're live on America Armed and Free with Helen Glass and Clarissa Gebrekoff. Go right ahead.
Thanks for your program. I'm a retired Navy, and I don't need the money, so I give most of my retirement check to veterans organizations. However, programs like this are starting to get on my nerves because we should, instead of having to beg people to give money to our veterans and our hurting military, we should be trying to elect people who will take care of our warriors and our veterans and all their needs, instead of all this begging nonsense. You sound like a public broadcasting company on begging, and I don't like it.
I understand. Helen?
Dan, I agree with you about electing people who will protect our veterans and their rights and their benefits. But this is not the military asking for money. This is for young families. And if you check what some of these are getting, there it's almost like a poverty level.
I actually took some notes on that. Your son?
My son.
Your son, Clarissa's son, gave me actually the figures on what they make. An E-1 coming into the military today makes $1,274 a month. An E-2 makes $1,427 a month. An E-3, $1,501. An E-4, $1,663 a month. An E-5, $1,814 a month. And an E-6, $1,980 a month. That's okay for a single guy, maybe. E3 or above, but if you're trying to support a family on that, wow, that's difficult. And I got to say that I wish the military pay were higher, but it is what it is. And with all due respect, Dan, to your comment, which I think is accurate, if they're at the level they are at, and we need to do whatever we can as a country, much has happened in World War II where
the military here are not asking for it. This is a fine organization that wants to help the families of these men and women who are over there sacrificing their lives.
Mm-hmm. Thank
Dan,
you.
Did you have a follow-up?
Listen, I spent 30 years, and I know exactly what E1s all the way through 07s make, but that's beside the point. Why aren't we having people paid what they're worth? Why do we elect people who give all this big money to GS government service people in Washington who do nothing but sit with her feet up on the desk and not pay our service people. Well, I think we're fighting the wrong battle.
We need to fight the politicians that are in Washington. We need to have a march on Washington, and the American people stand up for their rights.
I don't know that the political class listens that much or pays much attention to protests or marches. I think that the paradigm shifted after the 1970s in Vietnam and the protests on Vietnam. I think part of the problem is this government has grown so large that it's incapable of listening. It's so focused inwardly on protecting government and protecting self.
Well,
that
we've got to do something.
Well, I think one thing we could do, and I think I would love to see, I would love to see a constitutional amendment that limits the size of government. Something Colorado has is called TABOR, Taxpayers' Bill of Rights, which limits the growth in government to the rate of inflation plus the influx of new people.
They're kind of trying to do away with the Constitution and all our rights.
Well, I think the best way you can fight that is to...
I still think we need to go back to the old ways also of they had a limit on immigrants coming from different countries.
Mm-hmm.
Why did they have to go, like my grandparents, had to go through that, and never did they go on welfare or ask for anything for free or to be given anything or even demand it or expect it? And why are we allowing it here?
We have moved so far to the left in this country that we think we have to embrace every single person that comes in here, as opposed to expecting them to bring a value to the country rather than us giving a value to them that we've moved.
But they don't respect us for it.
No, and that's, unfortunately, it's because people are so worried about how people feel about us as opposed to be respected.
Being politically correct is getting on people's nerves.
It's also a true damage to the United States. Clarissa, I'm going to let you have the last word about Operation Homefront. You're looking to get either donations of equipment, either backpacks and school supplies. And tell us again where the drop-off points are for those.
It's Sunflower Market, 3860 West River Road, Simon Ice Car Wash, 3101 East Speedway Boulevard, and 4941 North Oracle Road, 2409 South Cobb Road, Cool Smiles of Tucson, 2990 South 6th Avenue, and 5504 East 22nd Street. And I also want to say that if you are in a military family and your children are in need of backpacks, go to our website and register. Thank you.
All right. And is there any cost to that for the people in the military?
No, nothing at all.
Okay. And they can register at www.operationhomefront.net/Arizona. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And there shouldn't be anybody in the military today that doesn't have computer access one way or another, is
there? And don't forget to come down September the 11th, 10 o'clock at Reed Park.
Okay. And which Ramada is that?
Ramada 5.
Ramada 5, mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, I want to thank you so much, Helen Glass, for being here, and Clarissa for being here representing Operation Homefront. And I love the way the two of you work together to promote things. And thank you for your volunteer effort at the VA for all these 32 years and your poetry, which is a real contribution to the country. I appreciate
it. Well, it's my pleasure.
It's just a joy, a pleasure, and an honor to have folks, to know that folks like you have paved the way for us.
We have many wonderful. And if anybody doesn't have anything to do, come down and volunteer at the VA.
All right. I want to encourage each and every one of you to be vigorous, not violent. Be vigilant, not vituperative. In Liberty, I'm Charles Heller.
May our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by
AM 1240 KJAA Globe, AM 930 KAPR Douglas, AM 1030 KVOI Cortero, Tucson.